In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, good day. It's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. And it is a glorious day today. I'm looking today at the prophet Isaiah. You know, Isaiah. I love that man. You know, he's a real man of God. He's a real man of God. He's a soldier in the army of the Lord. Yeah, that's Isaiah. And I think I want to look at the 50th chapter, if I'm not mistaken. And just give me a chance, as Mr. Kennedy would say, a chance. And I would like to say hello to Mrs. Lavin today, who's the best. Mrs. Lavin, you are the best of the best. Isaiah 50. And the scripture says... I don't think it's Isaiah 50, I'm sorry. Oh, mamma mia, I was reading it this morning and I was so edified. And you know what, I cannot find it. It's not the book I was looking at. So I guess I'll just read something else and preach on something else. Well, let's look at Isaiah 40, the 40th chapter and the 9th verse. I know that is something that we want to hear. I'm sorry today. Not usually like this, but I am today. Isaiah 40, chapter, and the 9th verse. And it says, "Go up onto a high mountain, Zion, herald of glad tidings. Cry out at the top of your voice, Jerusalem, herald of good news." Here's the first time the gospel is mentioned in the Bible. "Cry out, go up on a high mountain, Zion, herald of glad tidings. Cry out at the top of your voice, Jerusalem, herald of good news. Fear not to cry out and say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. He comes with power. The Lord God who rules by his strong right hand." Now, what was happening in this time? You know, "How lovely on the mountains of the feet of them that bring good news." What was the good news? I'll tell you. The good news was they were getting out of Babylon. The good news is that all these feet are on these mountains coming to tell the people that they're getting out of Babylon and they're going back home. That's the good news. Now, today we're talking about good news. They were captive in Babylon. And you know, if you want to see how sad they were, it's Psalm 137. This is one of my favorite psalms when I want to be sad, okay? When I want to be sad, I take out Psalm 137 because it's the sadness of God's people in Babylon. "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat and wept, mourning, when we remembered Jerusalem. On the poplars of that land we hung up our harps. There our captors asked us for a song. They tormented us for a joyful song. Sing us a song of the temple of Zion." But how could we sing a song of the Lord in a foreign land? "If I forget you, Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. May my tongue stick to my palate if I do not remember Jerusalem beyond all my delights." My Lord, that sadness, that by the rivers of Babylon there we sat up and wept, we hung up our harps, there was nothing to sing about. We lost our song. Have you ever lost your song? I have. Have you ever lost your joy? I have. losing your song and losing your joy is the worst thing that could ever happen to you, because you know why? Because then you're just a bump on the log. You lose your song, you lose your joy, you've got nothing to say. You talk like this, well, today we're going to be talking about... Oh, Lord, reroute those planes, I pray. Reroute them the other way, Lord. Please, we don't need any more planes. We've heard enough of them today. Oh, we're in the middle of the airport right now. You would think, wouldn't you? You would think. But anyway, let's go back. Have you ever lost your song? Have you ever lost your joy? When you lose your joy, when you lose your song, I'm going to tell you, you're just like a bump on a log. You're existing. You're not living. And I understand that. I understand that. I understand that. But God always wants to put a new song in our heart. Oh, how happy are the feet upon the mountains that bring good news. Let me tell you about good news. The good news was they were going back to Israel. The good news, they were going back to the house of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The good news, they were going back to Jerusalem where the temple was. That's the good news. But let me tell you about good news. Good news is always the best news in the midst of bad news. Listen, good news is always the best news in the midst of bad news. When you've got bad news, good news is the best, okay? When you've got bad news in your life and you look at your life, I can't pay my bills, I can't do this, I can't do that, I'm telling you, good news is the best news in the midst of bad news. And we've got good news today, and the good news is of Jesus. The good news is that he's a supplier. The good news is that he loves you. The good news is that he died for your sins. The good news is you can get your harps off the poplar trees and start singing again, because you know what? He's still on the throne and still inhales and answers prayer. That's right. The good news is always the best news in the midst of bad news. So when everything wrong is happening, my Lord, you've got to tune into Father Tom, and I hope he's having a good day, because sometimes he's not having a good day, and then he's ranting and raving. I know. I live in his skin. But today we're talking about good news, and you might be in the middle of bad news, and today I'm telling you Jesus is in control. Could you just say that? Jesus is in control. Can you just say that? Jesus is in control. Can you say that Jesus has plans for me? Jesus has plans for me. In the midst of bad news, good news is the best news. In the midst of bad news, good news is the best news. Jesus has plans for you in the midst of bad news. Everything is coming against you so that you might quit. No! I'd stop eating chocolate, but I'm no quitter. I'm not quitting. Are you quitting? No. Good news is the best news in the midst of bad news. You lost your job. I'm telling you, God's got something better. That's right. Your car doesn't work. I'm telling you, God's got something better. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I want to tell you something about my car. I have a car. One day I have a car, and the next day I don't have a car. They took my car away. They took my car away! I don't know when it's coming back. But you know what? That's okay. I've got another car. We're driving one of those cars that somebody gave me for somebody else, and I'm driving that now. I'm not going to be worried about not having a car. I've got better things to worry about. Telling you about good news. Telling you that good news is the best news in the midst of bad news. Telling you that you can take your harp down from the poplar tree and start playing again. That you can start singing again, because when you lose your song, you're like a bump on the log. And maybe you just have to start singing slow. Maybe you just got to get a CD on and start singing. Maybe you got to get a CD on and start dancing now again. Because you know what? When you lose your joy, you are a target of the devil. When you lose your joy. You see, this, the planes have stopped. I want you to know the planes have stopped. We have not heard any more planes. Glory. Glory. Come on, let's praise the Lord for that. Glory. Thank you, Lord. This is real. We ask the Lord to reroute the planes. Glory. Let me tell you, that's good news, because when those planes come by, can barely hear anything. Can't preach. But we remember, we tell the Lord, reroute those planes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's good news. Here comes one, but it's a little one. Hear it? It's a little one. There it is. Well, thank you anyway, Lord. It's not better than the last one. Good news is the best news in the midst of bad news.
Exactly.
Now, what's your bad news today? What's your bad news today? Did you lose your job? Has your husband deserted you? Has your wife deserted you? Are you a drunk? You know what?
Are you a drunk? I'm telling you, if you're a drunk, God wants you converted. God wants to heal you. God wants to bring you one day at a time away from your from the alcohol. God wants to bring you victory. Do you know why? Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. Hit it. I told Satan, what? Get thee behind. Victory today is mine. That's right. Victory is mine because we've got good news. Jesus is still on the throne. He still hears and answers prayer. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. How happy are the feet upon the mountains that bring good news? I've got happy feet today because I'm bringing you good news today. I might not be on a mountain, but I've got happy feet today because I'm bringing you good news today. You do not have to be defeated. You do not have to go down the drain. You do not have to go down in defeat because our Lord Jesus Christ is the conqueror. Our Lord Jesus Christ has died for you. Our Lord Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, I know the plans I have for you, plans for your welfare, plans to give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. You say, but I've got no hope. I've got no hope. I've got no hope. Well, keep on saying it. And then you just imprint it on your DNA. Well, you keep on saying it. I've got no hope. I've got no hope. I've got no hope. I've got no hope. But imprint it on your DNA then. I have a hope. I have a hope. I have a hope. I have a hope. You know my hope? My hope is in Jesus. My hope is in Jesus. My hope is not in the church. My hope is in Jesus. My hope is not in my bank account. My hope is in Jesus. My hope is not in my parish. My hope is in Jesus. My hope is not in the car they took away from me. My hope is in Jesus. Where's your hope? Where's your hope? Where's your hope? My hope is in Jesus. I don't know where your hope is. I don't know where your hope is. If you have your hope in anybody else but Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you, glory, reroute those planes again. And Lord, I tell you, you're going to be a loser. My hope is in Jesus. My hope is not in the church. It's not in myself. It's not in my gifts. It's not in my money. It's not in my automobile that they took away from me. No, no, no. My hope is not in all those things. My hope is in Jesus. That's what my hope is. Let me tell you something. One day, I was with Tom Clasby, who's now married, and Tom Clasby and I and somebody else. It was like the end of May, and it was freezing cold. I'll never forget this. I had just done the Sodality Mass at the Sacred Heart Church, and we went out for a ride to Quincy and Braintree. I don't know what we did there, but we did. That's when we went out for something. Maybe somebody was looking for a job, and they had an appointment with them in the evening. I don't remember. But I remember that there were these young kids outside. We're in the car and they're outside. So I open the window and I say hi to the young kids. I say, hi guys, how you doing? And they said, Father. I said, what? They said, pray for us. I said, I will. You see that girl? Yeah. She's our only hope. Oh, I said, oh no, that girl's not your only hope. You want to know something? I know somebody who's your only hope, not that girl. His name is Jesus Christ. You want to hear something? I know someone who's your only hope. It's not that girl. That girl's not your only hope, honey. Jesus Christ is your only hope. Come on in the car. So the three of them came into the car. And we started to explain to them about Jesus. How happy are the feet upon the mountains that bring good news. Oh, yes. And we started to tell them about hope. Our hope is not in that girl. Our hope is in Jesus. Yeah, you want to have a date with that girl? She's not your hope. You got your hope in the wrong place. Your job is not your hope. You got your hope in the wrong place. The church is not your hope. You got your hope in the wrong place. I don't care where your hope is. If it's not centered in the heart of Jesus Christ, you've got your hope in the wrong place. If you think your hope is in your talents, you've got your hope in the wrong place. If you think your hope is in your computer, in your skills, your hope is in the wrong place. Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. And hope does not fail, the scripture says, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Hope does not fail. Because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And you know, that's why. That's why we've got good news to tell the people that are in the midst of bad news. And good news is the best news in the midst of bad news. Because Jesus is still on the throne and he loves you. And he's got plans for you. And he wants to lead you one step at a time. But you've got to follow in faith. You've got to follow in faith. You've got to follow in faith. If you don't follow in faith, you want to know what happens? You will be destroyed. Because everything that is not faith, St. Paul says, is sin. Everything that is not faith is sin. Everything that is not faith is sin. You've got to follow in faith. Okay, they were by the rivers of Babylon. They had hung up their harps. Their tormentors asked them for songs. How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. But you know what? If I forget you, Jesus, let my right hand wither. If I forget you, Jesus, oh God, I don't want to live any longer. If I forget you, Jesus, I'm no good to anybody and I'm no good to myself. Oh, Jerusalem is beautiful, but not like Jesus. Jerusalem is beautiful because of Jesus, because he did his redeeming work in that place. Hallelujah. Blessed be Jerusalem, because Jesus did his redeeming work in Jerusalem. And I love Jerusalem. Outside the walls of the city that day, as they put him on a cross, he did his redeeming work. And he saved you and saved me from hell. Hallelujah. Listen. Because of the cross, there's hope for you. There's hope for you. There's not one person that there's not hope for. Not one person. If you want to believe, if you want to have faith, and if you want to look at your bad news and say, this guy's got good news in the midst of bad news, and I'm going to say the best news is good news in the midst of bad news, because you know what? I don't have to give up. I don't have to do myself in. I don't have to kill myself. I don't have to think I'm a failure. I don't have to. You know why? Because Jesus loves you, and he's got plans for your life, and that's good news. So the next question is, you know, Jesus doesn't pay my bills. No, he doesn't pay your bills? What do you have that you haven't received? What do you have that you haven't received? There's nothing you have that you haven't received. I was reading John Wesley today, that Pentecostal starter of the Methodist Church. Oh, he loved Jesus, and he quotes all the apostolic fathers too. And he quotes St. Paul today, and he said, what do you have that you haven't received? He doesn't pay your bills? Well, he gives you the strength to work. He doesn't pay your bills? He's your source. See, there's your problem. You thought your boss was your source, and he fired you. Your boss is not your source. My source is in Jesus. You see, my source is not even the church. My source is from Christ through the church. My source is Jesus. My source is not. My source is not anyone but Jesus Christ. He's my source. And he's an inexhaustible source. You know, that's what we do. You know, that kid said, you know, though, that girl's our only hope. Oh, no, she's just a finite nothing. My hope is in the Lord who made heaven and earth. My hope is in an inexhaustible spring who's constantly flowing out, giving grace and mercy to those who call upon him. My source is in Jesus. Where's your source? You'll be disappointed if your source is in people, because people will let you down. You will be disappointed if your source is in me, because I will let you down. You'll be disappointed if your source is in the bishop, because he will let you down. You know why? Because only Jesus is the source and the only hope of those who believe. The rest of us, we can do the best we can. But you know what? We're not God. And if I'm your hope, you are on rocky ground. That doesn't mean God doesn't use me. It just means that I am no source. I'm just a reservoir. I get from the source. I get from the source. I have nothing I haven't received. Everything I have, I've received. What I receive, I try to give out. Sometimes I do it okay. Sometimes I don't. I do the best I can. But there is nothing that I haven't received that's good. If you're blessed by my preaching, hallelujah, you know why? Because I received that. I received that from God. I was called from the foundation of the earth to preach. I know that. So if you're blessed by my preaching, it's a gift from God. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord! Why not? Why not? It's not my gift. I didn't give it to myself. And you know what? Sometimes I take it for granted. Because, you know, I don't got to just go do this. You know, I got this gift. I don't even think that I got a gift. I'm just going to open my mouth. I don't even think in terms of gifts. I just say, this is what I have. But why do I have it? Because it's been given to me. That's why I have it. And who is it given to me for? For you. Who do you think it's given for? It's not given for me. It's given for you. When God gives me a gift, it's not a gift for me. It's a gift to be shared. Every gift must be shared. We must be good distributors of the glory of God, of the presence of God, of the gifts of God. Good distributors! Now let me tell you about my wallet. I'm going to open my wallet right now, and I'm going to tell you how much I've got in it. Nothing. I've got no money in my wallet. Isn't that funny? Are you worried? Oh, no, I'm not worried. I do have credit cards, but I have no money in my wallet. Where did it go? Well, I went grocery shopping the other day, and it cost me exactly what I had in my wallet, plus $13 more. So, you know what I've got in my wallet? Nothing. My source is not my wallet. My source is God. My source is Jesus. My source is the Lord who made heaven and earth. Oh, yeah, I have credit cards. I do. And I can use my credit cards, and I will. But, you know, there's nothing in my wallet. It doesn't bother me. You know why? Because it's not my source. It's not my source. It's not my source. My source is the Lord. Inexhaustible spring. He's my source. And you know what? Even though I've got nothing in my wallet, I've got to be generous. How can I be generous with nothing in my wallet? I can write checks. I can write checks. I can write checks. That's right. That's what I'm going to do. I'm writing checks. Checks for people to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Checks for people to get hungry to eat. Hallelujah. We're sending $2,500 to Haiti, so that Father Ilrich will be able to have a big party for all the poor children who never eat. Oh, yes, $2,500 going to Father Ilrich because we want to feed those kids. We want those kids to have their bellies filled one day like I had my belly filled last night as we had a barbecue. And if Father Tom can have his belly filled with a barbecue, those children in Haiti need to have their bellies filled. That's right. That's where it goes. Why not? Why not? That's what it's about. It's about him. It's about him being the source. It's about his word. It's about his gifts. You in bad news? Well, in bad news, good news is always the best news. So I told you a couple of things today. I said that in the midst of bad news, good news is always the best news. So you got bad news? Start looking at Jesus. Things will change. Things will change. Start thinking about him being your source. No one else. Everyone else will disappoint you, including me. Start praising him. Start adoring him. Start calling upon him. Stop making other people your gods. They will all fall off the pedestal. There's only one who won't, and his pedestal is a cross. Maybe you need to pray this prayer. Show me the path I should walk, for to you I entrust my life. Show me the path I should walk, for to you I entrust my life. Show me the path I should walk, for to you I should entrust my life. He will show you the path you should walk if you entrust your life to him. If you entrust your life to him, he will show you. He will provide. He will do all that you need him to do. He does pay your bills. You want to know why? Because without the energy to work, and everybody doesn't have energy to work, I'm going to tell you. Just because you get your bills paid, you say, I pay my bills myself. What happened if tomorrow, God forbid, some terrible disease hit you? We'll see how much health that you have on your own. If you've got health, it's his gift to you. Use it for people. Everything you have is a gift, and you don't have any reason for boasting. No reason to boast. But we do have reason to sing. Because how happy are the feet upon the mountains that bring good news. That man was on the mountains of Babylon, and he said to the people, we're getting out of this place. Pack your bags. We're leaving this joint. it's 70 years. God has set us free, and he used a pagan king called Cyrus. Isn't it wonderful? God used a pagan king to set his people free. And you know what he called Cyrus? His anointed, his Christ. Put that in your theology hat. How can a pagan king be a Christ? Well, he was. And he not only let them go, he provided the timber and the jewels and the gold to refurbish the temple. Who's the source, Cyrus? No, God is the source. And he even uses pagan kings. Someday we'll learn that we trust in the Lord who made heaven and earth, and not in our resources. Not in the car they took from me, and not in my wallet that has no money, but in the Lord who made heaven and earth, the source of all things. That's good news, because his source is inexhaustible. Tonight is Wednesday, and we will be at the Espousal Retreat House, you know. And bring your pots and pans. We haven't been there in 2 weeks, I think. We need to praise the Lord. We need to sing and praise the Lord. Come, take your harps off the poplars tonight and bring them with you, that we start rejoicing in the Lord. For you know what it says in the scripture? For rejoicing in the Lord shall be your strength. Hallelujah. And we will sing and we will dance and we will praise God. Tonight is the night of the Holy Ghost, because Jesus said, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So tonight we're asking more of the Holy Ghost for us. And we will pray for the sick, don't worry. But more than that, we go there to worship God. We are worshipers because the Father seeks worshipers. Tonight, 7:30, and the telephone number of the espousal is 781-209-3101, 781-209-3101. Today is the 1st of August, the Feast of Alphonsus Liguori, and we will be celebrating Mass at the Espousal Retreat House at 7:30. You are welcome to come. I also want to tell you that I really need to hear from you, because you know what? During the summer, everybody goes Okinawa. They go on vacation. And you know, it's good to go on vacation, but there are no vacations from our builds. You know, every month, it's $26,000 at least. Between $26,000 and $30,000 we have to pay. So I don't worry about those things. You know why? Because I'm not the source. He's the source. But you're the reservoir. You're the reservoir. The address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. You be the reservoir tonight. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. How happy are the feet upon the mountain.
Behold, I stand at the door and
this has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128.